If you bring Justin Simmons in now, or any free agent in now, whatever plans you have for Cole Bishop just about get flushed down the drain. Because I don't care how good Justin Simmons is or how experienced he is, it's going to take a period of time for him to get familiar with the defense. So now, any time that you would have spent, or at least a big chunk of the time you would spend developing a guy like Cole Bishop, you've got to switch that over to a rapid crash course education for a guy like Justin Simmons. Now, if you're not developing Cole Bishop like you wanted to, you might very well end up with this season being exactly what happened last season, which is a de facto redshirt. And now if you do that 2 years in a row to a second round pick, what's kind of the point of having him around?
Thad Brown, WROC in Rochester, on the idea of the Bills adding Justin Simmons, who will probably want some money. Don't think you're getting him for the vet minimum. That didn't happen last year. He wanted a deal. Atlanta finally gave him one late in the game. So, but he's the biggest name available on the market at the moment. Mm-hmm. 32 years old. 31 years old for Justin Simmons. Good morning. It's a rainy little Wednesday here. It's not hot out. Low 70s.
I saw the forecast temperature-wise. I got kind of excited. 74. Yeah.
Oh, 74. Sounds like Monday was
chef's kiss. Oh, Monday awesome. Was. I wish it was a golf day. It wasn't, though. I was here. It
was for me.
So glad for you.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Gabe Davis is in town today as it rains and is 74. Allegedly, he's in town. Reportedly. Jerry Dulac in Pittsburgh had that. Let's go to Arthur in Tonawanda on the idea of getting Gabe Davis. What's up, Arthur?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good.
I just want to say, I'm just sick to my stomach all morning. I have to hear that Trey White should be moved to safety. I mean, what are we doing here? Are we moving Jacob Bryson to goalie? Like, come on. We can't be doing this anymore. And then I got to hear that Gabe Davis is actually coming in for a visit. I thought it was a joke, but it's not. The guy has had one good game for the Buffalo Bills as a fourth-string wide receiver, and people want to act like this guy's going to make a difference. I'm sick and tired of hearing that he's going to do something with this. He's a blocker. Put out a lineman. Do something else. I got to blame, what's his name, Brandon Bean for this. He came on your show, squawked into the phone at you guys, saying how bad it is that you guys want to get another wide receiver in here. And what do we bring in? Elijah Moore and Gabe Davis is who our options are. I cannot stand it. And the fact that we still have Greg Rousseau on this roster at $20 million is a travesty. We should be out there getting Hendrickson, getting Parsons, even McLaurin. What is Brandon Bean doing? You guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call. A lot in there. As a goalie, Jacob Bryson, what do we think? Bad idea. Probably a bad idea.
It's probably a bad idea.
Yeah. I don't think, is it that big a deal? He probably, I guess it depends. Do you think he takes snaps away from somebody else? Because otherwise, he's a depth receiver that doesn't play a ton and is insurance. Is it, I guess, could you see him signing and it being like when Cole Beasley and John Brown came back the second time? Because they didn't play much.
It wasn't, yeah.
John Brown caught, like, did he catch one? He caught one long touchdown from Josh Allen when he came back. In fact, I think it was exactly, yeah, John Brown comes back to the Bills in 2022. He played three games, caught one 42-yard touchdown.
Yep.
That was it.
Cole Beasley didn't do much at all.
And Cole Beasley didn't do much either, and he was like, okay, Shakir's not really doing it as a rookie, so let's bring Beasley in. And he caught two passes for 18
combined
yards.
Three catches.
Three catches. Beasley did catch five in the playoffs in two games. But
they were
still,
like screen passes, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
He caught one touchdown. He had a playoff touchdown in 2022. I don't remember that either. That's the, year after 13 seconds. So he caught a touchdown against Miami, the Skylar Thompson game, I guess. Could it look like that?
If so, I don't know why you would do it.
Beasley did play. Man, you want to talk about that Bengal game that went terribly wrong in the playoffs. Cole Beasley, who had retired earlier in the season, played 47% of snaps in that game.
Yeah.
They were in bad shape.
They were, yeah. That Jeez. Was, that's,
is that Gabe?
It's a travesty.
Is that Gabe? He's a depth player. He's, you know, Micah Hyde comes back last year, and he never played.
Uh-huh.
He was on the practice squad. We spent a lot of time on that. The guy's name means a lot. The difference with Gabe would be that all of those guys were old. Beasley was old, and Hyde was
Gabe's
old.
Gabe's 26?
He's 26.
That's crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So that's what would make it sound different, and also the fact that you are a handful of teams right now that have talked to him. The Niners have an opening at receiver. They're reportedly in the last couple minutes that Diana Rossini says they're monitoring the receiver market. So that's who he's visited with. They need a receiver.
They should just sign Gabe Davis.
Maybe. Pittsburgh needs a receiver. Robert Woods is a starter right now. He's old. He's like 36.
Who is Robert Woods starting for?
Right now he's a penciled in. He's on the depth chart, a listed starter for the Steelers.
Yeah, they should.
That's where they're at.
They should sign. Like, they should sign Gabe Davis.
Those are the other teams
Can
that
I say
he's
this,
talking
though?
To.
If Pittsburgh's not signing Gabe Davis with that situation, I don't think he's signing right now. I just don't think he's healthy enough to sign.
Davis?
Yeah.
That really could be the other thing. Are the Bills doing due diligence saying, let's get him in here, let's see what it looks like health-wise in case in a month he's still available and we want to sign him? But that would be betting on him being available in a month.
I do agree with Sal, though, that a lot of it's they just know exactly who he is. There's no guessing in practice habits.
They know what type of person he is. Do they know what type of player he is right now?
I don't know.
Do they know what form he's in? He was horrible for the Jaguars.
It went really wrong. It went really bad. It went sideways for him in Jacksonville.
And it didn't go well at the end with the Bills. We always point to how Diggs started that year super strong. I mean, Diggs was on pace to set career highs at the beginning of that final season with the Bills. And then second half of the year, nothing. It was bad. That makes us forget Davis did nothing at the end of that season, right? He had zeros multiple times.
Against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
He was not on the same page with Allen. Remember in
he
Philadelphia?
He played 100% of the snaps in a game and got zero targets. In two games, that happened.
Yeah. He, not quite 100. It was like 97. 98.
Yeah. But, he was off the field for one snap.
Yeah, the Jet game, he didn't have a target. And then the Chief game and the Cowboys game, he didn't have a catch.
Mm-hmm.
And the Miami game. In the Miami game, again, there were so many times in that last year where I thought, man, he just does not look like he's on the same page as Josh. I can think of four examples, like off the top of my head. Remember the intentional grounding penalty that was stupid against the Bengals?
Yes.
They called at the end of a half.
Yep.
Why did that happen? Because Davis and Josh weren't on the same page.
Weren't on the same page.
How about in the Philadelphia game?
Well,
in overtime to win the game, he doesn't go to the place that Allen thought he was going. How about in Miami? First drive to win the division on the road. You drive down the field. You got goal to go. And remember that play?
Mm-hmm.
Allen throws it left side of the end zone. Davis has run inside. And it's an easy catch for Eli Apple of the Dolphins for a pick. I'm sure there are twice as many examples of that. He and Allen were not on the same page
at the end. I wasn't like for or against the move because I don't think it's super consequential if they decide to bring him in, unless the subsequent move is they trade Curtis Samuel or they release Elijah Moore.
Minnesota and San Francisco are looking for receivers. Do they want Curtis Samuel?
I just would rather have those guys.
You just have them. You just have Curtis Samuel.
And to your point, it's. You could have Curtis Samuel, or you could have Gabe Davis in $7 million in cap space.
I'd rather have that.
I can be talked into that.
I'd rather have that.
That requires somebody taking on that contract,
right? Which seems like a lift.
It seems like a large ask.
You probably have to give somebody something.
Yes, it would have to be like Samuel and a sixth for a seventh.
So really, it would be more. Let's really play this out. The trade would really kind of be, you know, let's say it's even more than that. You got to give him a fifth. To take Samuel. Here's a fifth round
pick. For cash considerations.
Yeah. Just straight up for future considerations. And then you bring in Davis. It would kind of be like, and you give him, Sal said it, what is it, $200,000 on the cap? It would be like you trade Curtis Samuel in a fifth for Gabe Davis and $7 million. And I'd rather have Gabe Davis and $7 million personally. I'm going to use that money. I'm going to make a trade at the deadline.
Okay.
And right now they can't. Right now they are I think they're still over the cap according to SpotTrack.
I thought that they had 1.6 million or something.
Even that, that's not much either.
No, that's basically nothing.
Let's go to Anthony in Amherst. What's up, Anthony?
Good morning, guys. I got a quick vent just a little out to you guys this morning. After finding out Gabe Davis is going to take a visit back to Buffalo, you guys were a Bills wide receiver right now, sitting in the locker room or at home right now going to practice soon. How would you feel on the Bills bringing in another wide receiver here after 2 weeks of the preseason has already been completed, all right? We're going into the last week of the preseason, another week till the NFL season starts, and here we are still questioning about wide receivers. I feel like it's almost a total slap in the face to who the Bills actually trust right now to go down the field and catch the long ball. I mean, yeah, we have James Cook that we just re-signed. It'll catch it in the short flat and et cetera, run through the holes. He's a great running back. But I just feels like the Bills are playing with house money, and it's going to eventually bite them in the booty one time. And, you know, look at the Chiefs this year. They got bullied on in the NFL Super Bowl on the offensive line. So what do the Chiefs do? They bulk up. They spend 3 out of 7 or 8 draft picks just to address the offensive line issues. And here we are still questioning free safeties, wide receivers, and corners at this latent stage of the preseason. I just find we're, like I said, it's house money we're playing with, and I feel like we're on a bad page right now. And we really can't lose these games that are going to cost us in the later run, especially for the AFC conference, you know, home, just like the Chiefs get every single year. This is how I'm kind of feeling. And it's just frustrating as a Bills fan and stuff like that, because I feel like we do a lot, but we have to, I mean, we do a lot, I apologize, and we get bare minimum. So I'm going to hang up, let you guys comment in. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Anthony, for the call. I think that the point, though, about the Bills receivers, like, it depends what type of guy you got. I think what you could get is kind of what McDermott did yesterday with Cole Bishop, which is, I'm going to say something in the media that hopefully lights a fire under the butt of this dude that, yep, I think needs to perform better. Like, hey, you better get your act together. I need you to perform here. That's kind of, I think, what happened yesterday with Bishop. If I am Elijah Moore and I see that the Bills are bringing in Gabe Davis, I might see Gabe Davis at the facilities today, right? Like, he's going to be there.
Yep.
And if I see him there, what am I thinking? I'm thinking, I better get going here. Because they'll cut me. Look at this guy. He's here. I got to get going. So, sure, you could take it bitterly. I think more often in that sport, you're hoping that it is a message to your guys, like, you better get your act together. And that, I don't know, Moore, though, again, I don't even know if I want to pigeonhole Moore into that. I don't think Moore's had a bad camp. I haven't heard anybody say he's had a bad camp. I don't think he's lighting the world on fire. And he had a couple drops in a preseason game. So
yeah, I'm not making an indictment of him from one preseason game with Mike White at quarterback. I'm just not going to do it. But I guess a little bit of me thought Elijah Moore might push to really, like, be a player in this offense, to be a piece of the offense. And he hasn't really done that. But I still, I think, 10 times out of 10 would take Moore over Gabe Davis. So, like, I think a full 10 times out of 10.
I would, yeah, too. Yeah. I've always liked Elijah Moore, and I feel like if you want to stay true to the preseason pledge, you shouldn't want to cut Elijah Moore because he dropped the screen pass against the Bears. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
That, by the way, wasn't even right in his hands. He should have caught it. But it was low and to the right. It's not necessarily where you'd want your quarterback putting a screen pass. But I get he should have caught it, but whatever. Let's go to Jerry in Kenmore. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm kind of curious what the last caller's definition of house money is, because I don't think it was – house money means you're already ahead. What are you doing? You know, you can take risks because you're already ahead. Regardless, I'm tired of the Gabe Davis talk and all these rookies that'll never make the team talk. You know, I can give you a list as long as my arm of rookies that we thought were was it Brashear or Tim Tinsdale or Colby Listenby. We talk about Shavers. If he hasn't proven himself in this league in 3 years, he's going to be delivering bread in 2 years. Okay, I know we fall in love with these guys because they're the only guys we see right now. The other thing about Davis,
the Chiefs game, the Chiefs thought he was so bad they decided not to cover him in a playoff game. And it almost lost the game for him, for them. But they made us go someplace else. He's not a good receiver. They're never on the same page. He's a horrible route runner. If the ball is 15 yards from a receiver and Allen throws it, it is always Gabe Davis. Always Gabe Davis. He just, he's not a good route runner. He doesn't have chemistry with Allen. It's not a good, sure, put him on the field to block. We don't need wide receivers blocking.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry, for the call.
I'm just glad we got to the point of the show where Colby Listonby finally got his callback.
We are
got his callback
as a show when you get to Colby Listonby.
Frig yeah.
Never made an appearance in the NFL, I don't think.
Did he not?
No,
when he
I think he got hurt in camp and just never.
That was it.
I don't think he ever did anything.
Rip true, true one.
This is a 6th-round pick of the Bills.
TCU's finest.
Well, it wasn't even 10 years ago. I guess he did go to Miami and Indy after, but he never played. Practice squad. I mentioned a couple examples of him being off with Allen at the end of that final year. In their careers as a whole, I don't know that I'd want to say they didn't have chemistry. At the end, they didn't. And maybe that's what should matter most.
And maybe a little of that is also a Ken Dorsey problem.
No, because remember at the time, that's Joe Brady.
Yes.
And but that could have been that Joe Brady just didn't have much of a role for Davis, the same way that Dorsey might have, or certainly Dable did before that. I mean, it is amazing, because I agree with a lot of that. I don't think Davis is a very good route runner. I think Davis is an okay receiver that looked really good here because he had Josh Allen, and I think at the time, especially in the Brian Dable system, he was a good fit. They needed a big X receiver. They needed a guy that could go down the field, and he was pretty good at that. He caught a lot of deep balls. I mean, we always remember in the 13 seconds game, those last two drives, Davis breaking the ankles of a Chiefs corner on 4th-and-13 to catch a touchdown.
Yep.
And then again, he caught four passes. Was it 3 or 4 passes on the final drive?
I missed that Chiefs secondary. I wish that was still the secondary. I wish we could still go up against Sorensen.
Yeah, I know. And who was it? Tyrann Mathieu got hurt in the first quarter. I mean, on that final drive, no doubt, like that drive they had chemistry. Allen's not even looking anywhere else. Like he's throwing the ball to Davis before Davis has turned around. Like they were on the same page on that last drive. But what you might forget is in the third quarter of that game, Davis is running behind the Chiefs defense.
Yes.
And again, you're right to point out their secondary stunk in that game. But
I missed that secondary.
But that was the Davis play. The Davis play wasn't, hey, I'm going to break a guy's ankles on 4th-and-13. The Davis play was, I'm going to just run straight down the field and wrestle the ball away from Minkah Fitzpatrick. I'm just going to run down the field and be one step ahead of the defender. Right. Never 10 steps ahead. But I'm going to be one step ahead of the defender, and Josh is going to put in a bucket. And the reason I'm skeptical of this idea making much impact at all, if they were to do it, is I don't know that he can still do that. I've always wondered about how long a downfield receiver that runs a 4-5 can do that in the NFL. And he's had some injuries.
And an ACL. Like, not just, like, some nagging injuries, but, I mean,
Was it an ACL?
Yeah.
Last year?
It was ACL last year, yeah. So
you sure about that?
I'm 95% sure.
That leaves 5% wiggle room that it wasn't
that? It wasn't, yeah. I'm pretty sure he tore his ACL.
Tore his meniscus.
Meniscus, okay.
Knee ligament. You had a torn knee ligament.
Yeah.
You're pretty close. PCL sprain, ankle sprain. We remember that one, right? Because we heard about it all year for the Bills.
Because, like, that's a long time. For him to not be medically ready with a meniscus seems...
He tore his meniscus November 17th.
He should be...
He missed 6 games.
He should be...
Which was the rest of the season.
He should be completely fine by now. That would concern me. That would concern me.
He also
that he's still not healthy after a meniscus tear.
He also sprained his PCL with the Bills. Remember, he missed the...
Yep.
I actually just saw Pat Moran was tweeting about this. Matt Bovee pointed this out with Sal yesterday. That maybe the Bills win the Chiefs playoff game 2 years ago if Davis plays. He missed that game with the PCL sprain. And actually, if you remember, I know I'm deep, way into the weeds on Davis here. There's a fan video after the game, Davis like getting into a screaming match, like an altercation with Bills fans, and then he left. That game he missed, Trent Sherfield had 2 bad drops. including on that Diggs drive. The Diggs drop happens. Sherfield
had a rough game.
He had a ball hit him in the bicep.
Yeah, he had a rough game.
And, hey, maybe Davis makes an impact in that game. I'm not sure about that, but he could have. You know, there's injuries there. And I just would wonder what form you're getting from him. Mike on a cell's next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. A little opposite view on Gabe Davis. I really wonder whether or not it's Davis or whether or not it's the offensive coordinator. I mean, I have a tough time when a guy gets 12 catches, 87 yards, touchdown, and then the next week he gets one target. I have a tough time when, you know, he had four huge games that year, and then the following games he barely got the ball thrown to him. And then, you know, two games later he'd have, you know, 130 yards. I look at it similar to James Cook. I just don't think that they – I mean, you got James Cook. His average spot where he receives the ball on a pass is within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage for last year. I mean, you've got weapons, and we talk about Joe Brady as this great offensive coordinator because the Bills score 30 points a game. Is it him, or is it because we have a freaking quarterback – and you or I could sit there and say, Josh, just go out and play. I just really think, I mean, I watched that, you know, the Davis season 2 years ago very closely. And he wasn't even looked at for games. And then he'd be the best player on the field. And remember, we also had Diva Diggs, who had to get the ball seven or eight times a game, you know, on these little swing passes 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage to make him happy. So I'm not saying I want Gabe Davis to come back, but I don't think Gabe Davis's last year here was all his fault. I think a lot of it was scheme.
All right.
But I don't know that you can say in one sentence that the offense is only good because they have a freakish quarterback, and also it's the scheme's fault for the quarterback not looking to throw at the wide receiver. Do you know what I mean? Like, those are conflicting ideas.
Would you be saying then that basically, like, and you could include Diggs in this too, that those guys struggling at the end was because they hadn't had the opportunity to build Brady an offense with the personnel of the type of offense he was running. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what I think is that Joe Brady at times would say, okay, this game we went to Gabe Davis, 12 times. 9 catches. So this planning on Gabe Davis being used all the time. Mm-hmm. And instead of using Gabe Davis this game, we're going to scheme to go to Diggs, or we're going to scheme to go to Johnson out of the back. We're going to do something different because teams plan on us using Davis. And then 2 games later, we haven't used Gabe Davis in 2 games, so mm-hmm. we're going to scheme and throw the ball to Gabe Davis all the time. Because I just don't see how you can have that big a jumps over a season where 4 games you are the best player on the field other than
I also don't think at any point he was the best player on the field. So, like, that's also a thing for me is I think we're being a little dramatic on both ends.
I think what it was personally for how it was so back
he
and
was
forth,
not getting double teamed.
Like, the Charger game that year, I'm looking at his game log now. He catches a bomb down the field on a broken play from Josh Allen.
Yep.
Like, that's a big part of that stat line from that day. I think part of it was Joe Brady came in, and he wanted to limit the turnovers, and he wanted to clean things up. And one way to do that was throw the ball around the line of scrimmage, which meant Khalil Shakir. They tried it with Diggs, but it wasn't really effective because he's not that type of player. So they tried it with Diggs. They did it with Shakir, and that worked. They did it with Kincaid. Kincaid, first play of the Chief playoff game that year, is a screen to Kincaid.
Yep.
Like, those were the guys that they were, because, hey, we're going to keep the ball short, line of scrimmage, who's good at catching and running?
Yep.
Those guys. Who's not good at catching and running?
Gabe Davis.
You're not going to throw Gabe Davis a screen at the line of scrimmage.
He also has a very limited pass game, and a route tree, and when the passing game started going more towards the middle of the field on those short passing,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't just have to be scheme. It could be the scheme that he can't really operate in. So if other people can operate in the scheme, but he can't, is it a scheme problem or is it a player problem?
I don't even think it's a scheme problem. It's just it does, and this kind of relates to why I don't think if they sign him, it'll even make a big dent in their production offensively. at the receiver position because I just don't think he's a great fit for the type of offense they run.
I would agree.
If you're trying to get yards, you know, like he's a fit in terms of, listen, they throw a screen to Shakir, they're going to need guys blocking. Like, and if he costs $200,000 and he could be an effective player in that role, fine. But is that more valuable to me than what Elijah Moore could do for me? I would say no. Is it more valuable for me than what Curtis Samuel could do if he's on IR? Yes.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out how valuable you think Davis doing the dirty work is.
I don't think you're getting
700 yards from him.
I also think we're probably going to talk about this more. We're going to spend more time talking about Gabe Davis, and I don't even think he's going to sign here.
Right. Well, so, he could sign with the Steelers tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or today. It'd be weird, though, if he signed with the Steelers while in Buffalo.
That would be weird.
803-0550 is the phone number. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you coming up on WGR.
No setbacks. I saw him this morning, had a good conversation in the hallway with him this morning, and he continues to rehab and no change to his schedule. He continues to rehab, and goal is to get him back as soon as possible, whether that's the end of this week, beginning of next, somewhere next week, it remains to be seen.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I believe practice again today for the Bills. They get ready for Tampa. A little bit later in the week in the preseason. Quick college football story before we get back to the Bills. Nate, did you see that Auburn has claimed 4 new national championships?
Yes, I did see that.
Now, I guess, how much do I care about schools going back and saying, oh, 1910, we were the national champions.
Is it because they had the best record?
I guess. 1904, I don't even know if they had that. 1904, they've claimed national championships in 1910, 1914, 1958. So again, like all a long time ago. Okay. Like how
weird,
am I supposed, how
weird
am I supposed
thing to do.
I could try to argue it. They also claimed 2004. Which they definitely did not win the national championship, right? Like, I don't even know how you would... I'm surprised that any school would claim something that recent. Because we did have the BCS by 2004, I believe. But I guess their reasoning is USC won that year. And USC, what? Because of vacated wins and because of the Reggie Bush scandal, which wasn't even a scandal. He just didn't take like a couple classes or something. Cheated on tests, right? That's kind of their basis for why they're claiming 2004.
Wouldn't it be the team that lost in the national championship that would have won it?
Were they in the national championship? They
USC
weren't.
Beat Oklahoma in the national championship.
Okay, so you're saying Oklahoma should then get to claim it?
Yeah.
And as the article I'm reading points out, well, why can't Utah claim it? Because they went undefeated 12-0. Can they claim it?
Could I claim our club championship over the weekend, even though I didn't win? Could I claim it?
You just claim.
People are asking.
Just claim the national championship.
People are asking.
College football is the only sport we get this, right? UCF claiming the 2017 national championship just because there was no game forever. But again, these are in years where there were games that, like, I have school still doing it.
I don't understand.
This is why we've
talked about it. Do we have to acknowledge it? Do we have to accept it?
No, you don't have to. But, like, Auburn now is going to be, like, putting all over their stadium, hey, we are 9-time national champions.
That's absurd.
Even the last year, they would have only said they were 5-time national champions.
That's absurd.
Right? You know, you say that, but didn't Notre Dame probably do this? Probably every school's probably done this, right?
No one's done this. I have never seen or heard this done.
Well, Alabama did it. That's part of the story I read, too, is Alabama did it back in the 80s and then maybe again recently where they added titles from like 100 years ago. New thing for me is, though, seeing someone add a title from 20 years ago.
Can the Sabres not claim the 99 Cup for the foot in the crease?
Imagine
we could claim it.
I mean, if this is how we're operating.
Yeah, what can we claim 06?
We could claim. Right. Well, you know what? Actually, the ball didn't go wide right. I claim that Super Bowl.
Hey.
We're winners. All we do is win.
99's the perfect year, though. Like, what if the Sabres announce, like, hey, we play Dallas this year on January 17th. I don't know their schedule off the top of my head. But we play Dallas this night, and it's our special banner-raising night. and they are going to raise a Sabres 1999 Stanley Cup champions banner.
Could you imagine?
In front of the Stars, by the way.
Yeah.
They were going to claim it. They do it in college football. Like, you cheated to win this game, so therefore we don't recognize your win, so we're going to take it because we were there at the end.
This is the precedent that's now been set. Thanks, Auburn.
Auburn. Right, it's Auburn's fault. Notre Dame might not do this. They only claim... Oh, never mind. They do... There's, again, this is how stupid college football is. On the Wikipedia page, there is a section of claimed national titles and then unclaimed national titles.
Okay, and unclaimed are the ones they've actually won? Is that the...
No, unclaimed are the ones that they haven't won. Like, 2012 is on unclaimed national titles.
Well, they didn't win.
But so. Yeah, so I guess they don't claim it. But somebody somewhere has given them that title. So stupid. 1919, 1920, I don't have to go through them, but 1993, what happened in 1993? There's an unclaimed Notre Dame national title that year. It's all ridiculous. All right, one more, another Gabe Davis call. Mario in Jacksonville, get us back on track. What's up, Mario?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to share a little story. You guys can humor me for a second here. My law firm is the official firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars, so I'm subject to like all the Jag stuff throughout the season. I try to stay in my little Bills bubble. But last week we were having dinner with the Jacksonville Jaguars team surgeon, and he told me that he met Gabe Davis last season. He's the nicest guy. And I remember thinking, oh, man, remember the Gabe Davis days? I'm so glad those days are over. So 5 days later, see this story that the Bills are going to be working out Gabe Davis or something. And I started cracking up. I thought it was the greatest thing ever because I needed a little humor to lighten up the week. I watched so much Gabe Davis last year. I can't tell you, and I'm going to remind all the people listening, he is bad. He is really not good. There were multiple games where Trevor Lawrence, who can't hit water when he falls out of a boat, would hit him in the hands. He would drop a pass, and then there'd be a blow-up on the sideline. He'd be yelling at Lawrence.
I remember that, yep.
Yeah, so when we talk about the Chiefs game, yeah, guess what, people? We have Josh freaking Allen, okay? He made Gabe Davis who he was. Let's not forget who we're dealing with here. He was so bad that the Jags couldn't wait to move on from him, and I preached and preached and preached when they brought him to Jacksonville and told my friends, and no one wanted to listen. And guess what? Now they're laughing at Buffalo because he might come back to the Bills. So just want to enlighten everyone and share my little insight there. I hope you guys have a great week. Go Bills.
Yeah. Thanks, Mario. Again, though, part of the difference there is Jacksonville paid him $13 million.
Yeah.
The Bills, as Sal pointed out, like it would count for $200,000 on
different,
their cap.
Yeah, sir. Different situation.
I mean, really, did the Bills dodge a bullet? I don't know how much they would have been willing to pay him, personally. But
it's hard to know whether they dodged the bullet or never loaded the gun in the first place.
But whatever, like it's a very good thing they didn't extend him. Right? That was the right choice. They've extended most guys. And you know, like you can always say, well, they would have wanted to keep him, but it would have only been for this price. Edmonds, it's kind of always, I've thought the same thing. Like, sure, they weren't going to pay $18 million a year for Tremaine Edmonds.
Would they have paid 14? I don't know.
And you could say that. But here's one thing I do know.
I don't think they were going to be spending that much money on linebacker.
With both of those guys, here's one thing I do know. They didn't get him locked up the year before their contract year.
Yeah.
So you could say
everybody they've wanted, they've done that.
That's right. Everybody they've wanted to keep around, they've got it done a year in advance. How many? It wouldn't be none, but how many guys have they actually taken all the way up to free agency and then signed? Because they didn't do that with Trey White. They didn't do that with Deion Dawkins. They didn't do that with Josh. They didn't do that with
Spencer
James
Brown.
Cook, Spencer Brown, Dawson Knox.
Ed Oliver.
I think Milano might be one that they did take it up to free agency.
Trey,
nope. You're right. Like most of these guys, they didn't.
Poyer?
So you could say, oh, they would have been willing to pay Gabe Davis. Maybe they were willing to pay Gabe Davis $8 million. Well, here's one thing I do know. They weren't desperate to get him done a year in advance.
Definitely Poyer the last time.
Poyer went up to free agency.
Yeah. Didn't like what he got and came back.
Yeah. But most guys, they get done. Most guys, they'll get it done ahead of time. And
if they want to get it done, they get it done ahead of time.
And with this guy, they didn't.
Yeah.
So they don't value him like that, but do they value him for $200,000? You know, maybe. You gonna watch The Kingdom tonight on ESPN? Can't get anybody to watch this show. Why is it on? The Kingdom on ESPN. 9 o'clock tonight.
Mm.
Can't be better than Hard Knocks was. Hard Knocks was good last night.
What's The Pretty Kingdom good. About?
What do you think it's about?
Oh,
I'm the Chiefs.
Good. I'm good.
It's about I'm the good. Chiefs, of course.
I'll watch a rerun of some cooking show I've watched 100 times. I'll do it again.
I won't watch this.
No.
One thing I will do, this is just kind of how I'm geared sometimes, is to get fired up for a season. Like, I'll go back and watch the 13 Seconds game. I'll go back and watch. How did that Bills Chiefs game end again last year? And that'll get me fired up for, you know, more into the Bills season.
I want to make something outside of like Hard Knocks. I think we should stop doing Dynasty documentaries before the Dynasty's over.
Okay. I think we just have too many sports documentaries.
I also think
in general.
Having the Brady documentary while he was still playing was egotistical insanity.
Tom Brady, egotistical?
The best,
what?
The best
what do you mean?
Athlete ever didn't get a documentary until like 14 years after he was done playing, Michael Jordan.
Oh.
He's the best athlete ever in any sport. 15 years after he was done.
You can't drop a bomb like that on who the greatest athlete ever is. As Josh has given me the, we got to go to break sign.
The greatest athlete ever.
I don't know. I had a Tiger Woods stat earlier in the week that might put that to.
Okay, he's close. Tiger was basically done with his career when he got his.
You didn't even watch Jordan.
Huh?
You didn't even watch Jordan. Some of the Wizards.
That's not totally true. It's a little true, but.
What year are you born?
91.
Yeah, you're 6 years old when he's done with the Bulls. Get out of here with the best athlete ever.
It was 98. They won in 98, didn't they?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I thought 97 was the last year. Maybe it was 98.
I don't know. Either way.
All right.
I just think we got to stop with these legacy.
I just think there's too many sports documentaries in the first place.
Yeah.
Everything now is Hard Knocks.
Yes.
The SEC has one of these things.
Yep.
The Chiefs have one.
With Florida. Who wants to watch? Florida fans don't even want to watch that.
There's a new one with the company that does all the boxing promoting companies. Netflix has got one coming out. Like, see how this looks behind the scenes. No. What do I care?
Yeah.
It's like contract talks. Oversaturation.
Yep. Shrink the game.
Extendo Sports when we come back here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. Extendo Sports. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Very quickly, one more word on this Colts decision yesterday. Daniel Jones going in over Anthony Richardson. I wonder if Richardson ever gets the chance to be another team's guy again. This point Mike Schoep makes a lot. Like, once you're not, like, if he moves on to another team, you know, he's coming in with another guy. It's probably the same caliber or a rookie. And is there ever a team that puts full investment into developing him? Maybe he doesn't have the maturity to get there, right? Like, maybe there's stuff happening behind the scenes, the checking yourself out of a game. Like, there's other stuff there with Richardson. But he is 6'4", 245, runs like a truck, and has one of the best deep balls in the sport. He had the best throw in the league last year. And despite a 47% completion percentage, had the same yards per attempt as Patrick Mahomes. So, I would want to explore that if I were the Colts. I think it's ridiculous that they're going with Daniel Jones, of all people. If they had a reputable veteran, go ahead. But Daniel Jones, when you have this freak athlete that you could still see if you could get anything out of him, and just punting on that, I don't get it. I don't know what the point is. So you can go win six games with Daniel Jones. I'd rather win four games with Richardson and know for sure that there was no chance that guy was going to become great. I think it's a terrible decision. All right, that's going to do it for us. Go trade for Richardson. Bill's backup? Anthony Richardson? We like it? I love the tools. Get him. If maturity's his problem, get him in the system. Get him with Josh. Keep Trubisky around. You know, bring him up. And then never have to use him. Actually, you could. When Allen, you maybe don't want to run him as much in the future, you know, like 3-4 years down the road. And I got this guy. He could do it. Just in the running plays. All right, that's it for us. Before I say something else stupid. Derek and Zach on the way. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Stay tuned. And we'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Nate Geary and Jody Biasi. Jeremy's off this week. Talk to you tomorrow here in WGR.